Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, we're covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Hey, shalom, shalom, family, grace and peace.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Amen, amen. Grace and peace, grace and peace. Hallelujah. 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 Welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. Here with my lovely rib, Rhea Serene Israel, holding down the board.
Hello.
And tonight, Thursday night, you got coming out of Peoria, Illinois, just out of the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class, our very own brother Isaiah Brown. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ooh, he got a doozy, y'all. He got a doozy. Tonight's precept is the Bible is infinite. We don't know the half. Ain't that the real truth? The Bible is infinite. We don't know the half. So the scripture is taken from Lamentations chapter 2. Thy prophets have seen vain, a foolish thing. Chapter 2 and 14. Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee. They have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and cause of banishment.
Amen.
Man, wait. Look at here, people. You already know. We're finna get into some of this hubris knowledge, all right? So with that being said, we're going to turn this over to our brother Isaiah Brown. And Nakomi Swanson, he's reading tonight. Amen.
Oh,
for the nations of peace.
The preacher-holic.
The preacher-holic on deck. Yes, sir. All right.
Don't
so
take
with that
no
being said, y'all, let's get into this book. Let's get into this precept. I'm so hungry. All right. Amen. So we're going to turn this over to our brother, Isaiah Brown and Nakomi Swanson.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And one more time. Amen. Grace and peace, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for tuning in to another Bible Blog Talk show, to the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. My name is Isaiah. I will be bringing a lesson tonight, and my reader is one of the coldest readers thus far, Big Bro, Brother Nakomi, a.k.a. Lil Israel, also known as the Preacherholic, who take absolutely no mess. No mess at all. Grace and peace, my brother.
Amen.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, bro. Grace and peace, family. And you know, like our brother Job just brought the precept, the Bible is infinite. We know not to have. You know, this precept, oh my gosh, you know, the Lord is constantly, you know, every day showing me do my studies, you know, in my spirit, you know, in my heart and stuff, that, you know, the Bible's infinite. And now I really understand why the Bible said that sometimes it's good to put the book down, not to overdo yourself. It ain't taking nothing from no studies you do, but sometimes you just got to put this thing down and, you know, deal with the family or something, you know, because it's just that much. You know, it's so much in this Bible that no man has the audacity to put a hold or a stop on it. You know, because if you have the faith and you keep on searching, them precepts will be, you know, the Lord called you for that matter. Them precepts going to be flowing beyond recognition, and I'm a living witness to that. All praises to the Father, because it's only the Father and through His grace and mercy that we are all able to come together and bring the precepts. So all glory goes to the Father. But, you know, just really sitting back and doing your research, you really understand why this Bible is infinite and why it is important to, you know, check other people out. Check other people out, see where they're coming from. But the most important thing that we all must do is read it for yourself. You know, grab you Apophica. Hey, I'm a true believer in Apophica. Nah, man, I'm talking about scriptures flying everywhere. Hey, check out the Apophica. Check out the King James Version. Read both of them, and I guarantee you will see they go hand in glove. And if that's not enough for you, then do your own research, your own history, and understand that the Apophica was with the Bible the whole time. And King James had his people to translate the Apophica just as well as the New Testament and the Old Testament. I read that for myself. And then we never sat back and just thought about it, you know, when the Catholics kept the Apophica in their Bibles, but they divided the Apophica and the Bible throughout with the rest of the people. It should kind of ring a bell, you know what I'm saying? But that's just through my studies. And, you know, through the grace of God, if you humble enough, you'll check it out yourself. But, you know, it's enough talking that I'm doing today. I really want to get into this precept, because this precept is going to really show us how to humble ourselves in the eyesight of the Most High God. You know, because understanding that the Bible is infinite, that means you shouldn't be boasting or being proud. Because if you believe the Bible is infinite, then you should know that there's always learning you need. You're going to always need something out of this Bible, because you will know that you don't even know the half of the story. So we don't have that authority to point the finger like we somebody pious and holy, not knowing that whatever you come across in the Bible, whatever you come across in the Bible, if it comes through the things that the Lord showed me, vain and hubris knowledge, or this Brother Joe with the creation, or Brother Nakomi with the Bible code, and so on and so forth. We only know the half. Might not even be that. But through our humility and how we constantly keep searching the scriptures, the Lord constantly keep adding a little bit more into our flavor. And we still won't even know the half. So that's why we need to humble ourselves and not to boast ourselves up with pride and arrogancy, thinking that we straight. So we got to be aware of these things. And we're going to find out how vain men really is. And in order for you to be real vain, that means you have to be doing your own thoughts. You have to be thinking on your own. That means you're not thinking too much of the scriptures. You think you're on that level to constantly keep talking on what you think. Then you're in trouble. Then you are vain men. And vain just means it profits you nothing. Me and I ain't going to profit you nothing. So I'm going to start us out in the Lord's Prayer. And Brother McCormick can read whatever the Father put on his heart. So I'm going to ask all the sisters to please cover your head and ask all the brothers to please uncover your head if possible. You know, I stole this from Brother Joe. You know, you might have headphones on your ears. You might be at work. Who knows? But through the grace of God, let's pray in. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wisdom is glorious and never fadeth away. Yea, she is easily seen of them that love her, and found of such as seek her. She preventeth them that desire her, and maketh herself first known unto them. Whoso seeketh her early shall have no great travail, for he shall find her sitting at his door. To think therefore upon her is perfection of wisdom, and whoso watches for her shall quickly be without care. For she goeth about seeking such as are worthy of her, showing herself favorable unto them in the ways, and meeteth them in every thought. For the very true beginning of her is the desire of discipline, and the care of discipline is love. And love is the keeping of her laws, and the giving heed unto her laws is assurance of incorruption, and incorruption maketh us near unto God. Therefore the desire of wisdom bringeth to a kingdom. If your delight be then in throne and scepter, O ye kings of the people, and honor wisdom, that ye may reign forevermore. As for wisdom, what she is and how she came up, I will tell you, and will not hide mysteries from you, but will seek her out from the beginning of her nativity, and bring the knowledge of her unto light, and will not pass over the truth. I have read Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verses 12 through 22. May the Lord bless reading his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Always get that smoke. That's what I love about it, man. All praise to the Father. And keep a mark in that, the Wisdom of Solomon, because we're going to be in and out of that too. So grace and peace, family. It's time for us to get the understanding that the Father wants us to have. Not by what I think, but it's what the fathers think. Not by my will, but by the Father's will. Let's glorify the Father, and let's respect him enough to know that we should be thankful that he allowed us to know some of this stuff. And respect him enough to know that these things in his Bible is infinite. Respect him enough when the Lord said to have respect to one another. You know what I'm saying? And just because they don't believe everything that you believe, that don't make you no better than them. That means the Lord just allowed you to know a little something extra. But the whole thing is that the Lord gives wisdom, knowledge, understanding whom he sees fit. So we need to humble ourselves and make sure God is above everything. So let's read what our Father got in this book, and let's try to sum up this matter with these scriptures. So we're going to go into the book of Job, chapter 11. The book of Job, chapter 11. Because we just going to get right down to nitty-gritty. The book of Job, chapter 11. And we're going to have to put your thinking caps on. Because you know, dealing with me, I'm gonna do a multitude of what ifs. And put ourselves in scenarios and metaphors. So you sit back and think for yourself by reading the scriptures. So we're in the book of Job, chapter 11. Book of Job, chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 7 through 11 and keep a mark in the book of Job because it's coming back at a later on in the scriptures. So the book of Job, chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 7 through 11. And I will cut you off unless you're reading. Call me when you get it, big bro. Go ahead and read.
Job 11, starting at the 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?
That's a very good question we need to ask ourselves. It said, canst thou by searching find out God? Can you find out God by your searching? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Can you do these things?
If you have common sense, you know you can't. Because if you, the Lord has to bring you into this. You can't just sit up here and read this thing and just think you're going to figure him out. You got to hope and be a prisoner of hope that he'll show you some of these things. But the question is perfect. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty to perfection? Go ahead and read.
Eight. It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain men. He seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it?
We just found out everything we need to know about this precept. Because the scriptures is already telling us you can't figure them out. And just to show you how much you can't figure them out, it said in verse 8, it is high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? Do we respect him enough to understand that you can't figure him out into perfection? It said the measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? But the main key is in verse 11. He said, for he knoweth vain men. So let's say he knoweth vain men. What is that telling you? Vain men think that they figure out God into perfection. Because the conversation is leading right to them. Vain men think they figure out God into perfection. So if you vain and you think you figure God out to perfection, then what do you think you're doing? Vain and hubris knowledge. A boaster. Proud. You might be mingling in with a Pharisee too. But keep that in mind. Now let's go to the book of Lamentations chapter 2. The book of Lamentations, chapter 2, and all we want is verse 14, so we can learn a little bit more according to these scriptures. Lamentations 2 or 14, when you get it, bro, go ahead and read for me.
Lamentations 2:14. Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment.
Right, and that's the whole thing right there. It said thy prophets have seen what? Vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity. So we're so close, we're so busy on self-righteous and boasted and proud and thinking we know everything. The book already told us that that's vain and foolish anyway. We're so focused on all this other madness, we're not even checking out our own iniquity. We can talk quick about adultery, but have you made it into your own laundry to see how dirty you are? But the book said, the prophets have seen vain and foolish things, and they have not discovered thine iniquity. Let's see if we can get a closer look at this. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1. Now let's see if we can get 2 and 2 out of this picture right here. Because a lot of us love to go into the book of Romans and try to tear the Sunday preachers up to shreds and never sat down and consider yourself mingled into this too. So we're going to destroy this hypocrisy. We're going to destroy this pride. We're going to destroy this boasting to understand we need to humble ourselves and understand that we need to make sure that we're not fitting this picture too. But let's break these things down to nitty-gritty, because vain and foolish men seem not to understand that they need to check themselves too. They quick to look at everybody else and point the finger. They're quick to be boasted and proud of their own self. But how many of us is sitting back and doing a self-check and using a measuring stick of our own righteousness? Let's read the book. Read the book of first. Read the book of Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read 29 through 32. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read. I'm not going to even stop you.
Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, magnanimity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
And that's where we at, brothers and sisters. This is exactly where we at. You see, because we need to understand that we're not wearing none of these shoes. And when you look at this stuff, it's obvious that all this stuff is on the same category. So, for example, you know, we can talk about a lot of things according to the scriptures. But how many of us really sat back and looked these words up? Like maliciousness. Maliciousness in an adjective is spiteful, bitter, mean, nasty, harmful, hurtful, bitchy, and unkind. How many bitchy, unkind, bitter, mean, nasty, harmful people have you met in the truth who are scholars in the law? But when it comes to fruits from the spirit, they have some of the bitchiest, nasty, unkind, harmful, nasty, mean, bitter conversations. All that is up under the form of maliciousness. How many of us is think sitting back and making sure that this is not in our work in the vineyard? How many of us? You know, because we can search out and point the finger at murder. But have any of us sat back and did a self-check on debate? We can talk all big about unrighteousness. But have we sat back and looked at backbiters? We can talk all about the people that go to church on Sunday. But have we did a self-check to make sure we're not boasters? Have we ever sat back and tried to figure this thing out? So you sit up here thinking that you're so pious and holy and point a finger with your vain and hubris knowledge and be like, y'all did this, you a fornicator. The Lord turned around and said, oh, yeah, but you a debater. Hypocrite. Oh, they go to church on Sunday. Oh, yes. But you a boaster, you hypocrite. Oh, man, all they do is try to deceive people. All the deceit. Oh, yeah? But I checked your heart and your ass ain't number full of maliciousness. You ain't nothing but full of spiteful, bitter, mean, nasty, harmful, and you are hurtful, and you have a bitchy attitude, and you are unkind. And the only reason I'm using the word bitchy so much is because it's in the definition, and it's up under the slang when you look this word up in the adjective. So when you're around these people, so now we really understand when the scriptures talk about taking the Passover unwillingly. How many times have we came across Passover? How many times have we went to the classes and you see this spirit on people? How many of us? Because I've lost count of how many times I've seen this behavior. But if you're full of yourself, full of pride and arrogancy, how could you see your downfall? How can you put yourself on a measuring stick if you never check your measuring stick? How many of us is doing our own research? Because what comes out of your mouth proves if you're doing your own research. Because you can't consider yourself a person who researched the Word of God and preached the Word of God if you're only allowed to do another man's lessons. That's like putting chains on somebody. You're all wrapped up. You know you're claustrophobic. How many of us thought of that? If you're really a servant of God and you're taking care of the Lord's business, how many of you are actually doing a lesson that the Father put on your heart, despite on how people think about it? Because the Lord sent me to some great men that I'm on the phone with right now to really strengthen me, to really teach on what the Father put in my heart. But we still got to understand that the Bible is infinite. We know not to have. So in order for you to understand that the Bible is infinite and we don't know to have, that means you can't be proud. You can't be boasted. You cannot deal with your own vain and hubris knowledge, which is another word for excessive pride. You know, you are full of yourself. You can't be pointing a finger. I'm right. I've been doing this for a long time. You won't know nothing. You can't say that. If you've been around this thing for if you've been around this thing for 20 years, and it's a young brother been around this thing for 3 years, he might come up with some good stuff. It might be a brother. It might be a brother in the truth for a year or two. The Lord might put something on their heart to bring to the table. Are you going to let your vain and hubris knowledge get in the way of that? Because in order for you to make sure you don't have that vain and hubris knowledge, you got to understand that this Bible is infinite. And the Lord can just be setting this thing out and giving everybody their portion. What he gives to you, he might give something to you that he didn't give to somebody else, and vice versa. Because the Bible is really just that big. So we got to be mindful of this stuff. So the last thing we checked out is this proud and boasters. Because proud and boasters are vain and hubris knowledge. They don't believe the Bible is infinite. They don't believe, they don't know that they don't even know the half of this story. So let's go back into the book of Job, chapter 11. The book of Job, chapter 11. At this time, we're going to read verses 3 through 6. Because we really want to check out this pride and boasting so we can try to get this out of our system immediately.
Job, chapter 11, starting at the 3. Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is known, therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth.
So this is showing us that the Lord is talking about these proudful and boastful people because they don't believe that the Bible is infinite. They think they know the whole story. Because if you think you know the whole story, of course you're going to talk like this. If you don't think the Bible is infinite, of course. course you're going to talk like this. If you think you know all of it, then of course it's a possibility you can talk like this. Because look at the conversation in verse 4. Well, matter of fact, let's start at verse 3. It says, should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? You with all that pride and arrogancy, and you come around one of these brothers who really know this book, we can put them down to shame. I'm talking about probably less than 3 scriptures. But verse 4 says, for thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. So that's just a person talking in his pride and arrogance. He's saying, what? I got this thing right. I figured God out. This is what he's doing. I know all the mysteries of the Bible, and you don't know all the mysteries of the Bible. I've been doing this thing for so long, you haven't been doing this thing so long. I've been around since this thing started, you can't tell me nothing, because I'm right. I got this thing figured out. But then verse 5 goes something like this. But oh, that God will speak and open his lips against thee, and that he will show thee the secrets of wisdom. So he will show it to you. And then he gonna humble you. That they are double to that which is. Know therefore that a God exacteth of thee less than thy iniquity desireth. So he said that he will show thee the secrets of wisdom. So he showed these people the secret of wisdom. That's why they pride and boastful. But then the Lord will really show it to you and buckle down and might use one of us to show them that they don't even know to have. Because you got people that talk about the Apophica, not knowing when you do your own precept, you're using Apophica, but you're using another dictionary or something. Not even knowing you're using Apophica. You might come across talking about fringes. And one of these young brothers might go through in the New Testament and shows you the true definition of him from the Hebrew concordance to show you that it's nothing but fringes. You might deal with all this pride, and one of these brothers or one of these sisters can come through and show you the true meaning of having a new heart, to show you that that conversation is future. That's a blueprint. You might think you know the creation, but maybe one of the students of Job, or maybe him himself, will come through and show you what the creation is all about. Brothers and sisters, let's humble ourselves in the eyesight of Most High God and to understand, to be thankful that he showed you a piece of understanding. And whatever he showed you, me too, everybody on this blog talk show is listening, whatever he showed you is double of what it is. He only showed you that small part, but it's double. Let's humble ourselves in the eyesight of God and be thankful that he allowed to show us a little something. And through the grace of God, he'll show us a little more. But we've got to humble ourselves and search and seek this thing out for ourselves and believe in your heart that this Bible is infinite. All right, Brother McCormick, let's go on into the Apophica. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 3. So we're in the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 3, and all we want is verse 24.
Ecclesiasticus chapter 3, 24. For many are
deceived by their own vain opinion and an evil suspicion have overthrown their judgment.
So that's what it is. So for many are deceived by their own vain opinion. That's why we got to be careful when we're dealing with this book. When somebody tell you something, go check it out for yourself. If somebody talking about a lesson saying that they doing something wrong, go check it out yourself. And whoever you put in charge of your own salvation, you better check that stuff out. Because the book said, for many are deceived by their own vain opinion. So a lot of men have their own opinion. Then we come across the book of Psalms chapter 99. The Lord said that he forgave Aaron, Moses, and Samuel, even though that they had their own inventions. Now, we don't come close to them, brothers. And inventions is a fanciful story. How important is it for us to make sure we don't come close to Aaron, Moses, and Samuel? We don't come close to them. We got to buckle down and make sure that we're not using our own words. We got to be careful. Because this conversation we're looking at is just like in the book of Job, chapter 11, verses 3 through 6. Remember, it said that my doctrine is pure and I'm clean in thine eyes. That's their own vain opinion. So let's go to Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 13. The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 13. And all we want is verse 1.
Wisdom Solomon 13:1. Surely vain are all men by nature who are ignorant of God and could not out of the good things that are seen know him, that is, neither by considering the works did they acknowledge the workmaster.
So, man, it seems like that's in all of us. It says, surely vain are all men by nature. So all men are vain by nature. And it says, and could not out of the good things that are seen know him that is, neither by considering the works did they acknowledge the workmaster. Because if we're vain, it's obvious that we cannot believe that the Bible is infinite if you use it on a scriptural way when it comes to us. So if we see that the world is vain and man is vain and the Lord has trained us to come out of this world, that means we got to drop our vain thoughts. We got to drop our vain ways. We got to stop speaking of our own opinions. Because it's all vain. Now let's go into Wisdom of Solomon chapter 14. Wisdom of Solomon 14, verse 14.
Wisdom of Solomon 14 and 14. For by the vain glory of men, they entered into the world, and therefore shall they come shortly to an end.
Because a lot of us don't believe this book is infinite. And if you don't believe that book is infinite, you best believe you could be mingling with that vain and hubris knowledge. You could be dealing with that pride. And it's, of course, we don't know that we don't even know to have. So if you can't humble yourself to that degree, then it's easy for you to become vain and have your own opinion when it comes to the scriptures. So it's no more just reading the Bible. You're reading the Bible and you add in too much of your own flavor. You might disagree with something, but it's not according to the scriptures
but it's through your own opinion. You can't point the finger and say somebody wrong and they don't know what they're doing if you have not used scriptures to prove it. Because the book said, let the word of God be true and every man a liar. We best to believe we need to take heed to this. And I did something too. I really just wanted to get a full definition of this word vain. And this is vain, so we really get understand, because I'm pretty sure we all know that vain means it profits you nothing. That's just the full meaning of it right there. But of course, it always gives you the synonyms. And so this is the definition is vain in an adjective. And it means futile, useless, pointless, worthless. That's all it is. Pointless, worthless, useless. So much for being vain. This is man who think his doctrine is pure. These are the men that think that they clean in God's eyes. So let's go back into the Bible. Let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up at verse 8, just that one verse. Colossians 2 and 8, when you get it, big bro, go ahead and read.
Colossians 2 and 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
So what is the tradition of men? Vain deceit. So when you read this Bible, I think it's a very important idea to make sure that this stuff ain't talking about these preachers that go to church on Sunday. It might say a little something here and there about it. You know what I'm saying? A piece of grain of salt. But this whole thing's about us who know the truth. Because remember, men love big I's and little U's. Men like to be in that position. Or like Pharaoh liked to call it, rock star. Everybody want to be a rock star. How many of us want to humble ourselves and take the short end of the stick? I'll leave that on your mind right there. Think about that on your own time. Now let's go to the book of Mark chapter 7. Look at Mark chapter 7, and all we want is verse 7, bro.
Mark 7 and 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
Now, a lot of us like to point the finger at these, softball preachers. Or no, cotton candy preachers. Forgive me, cotton candy preachers. You know, the brother that the congregation who got the little smaller church that go to church on Sunday. We like to put this big bang on them. But we never sit back and think that we're also being taught the doctrine of men, like that precept the Father allowed me to put together. That's called, are we ignorantly taught how to become Pharisees? You best to believe. You better read this Bible for yourself. You also better believe. Don't put your trust in man. It's good to have to be having good brothers around you. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But it's up to you to read the Bible for yourself. It's up to you to go pray to the Father to open your understanding up. Because it's the Lord that opens up your understanding. Don't put your trust in man like that. Put your trust in the Lord. So let's go in the book, because it's really, I really wanted to show somebody, show you guys something that the Lord showed me. Let's go in the book of 2 Ezra, chapter 4. And we're going to be dealing with this conversation of Uriel, the archangel, talking to Ezra. And let's look at the conversation. And look how Ezra was talking. And Uriel, the archangel, had to be like, hey, my brother, you need to calm that down. So we're in 2 Ezra chapter 4. And we're not going to read the whole conversation. We're just going to pick it up where the angel was talking and how Ezra was approaching the matter. So we're in the book of 2 Ezra chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 31 through 34.
2 Ezra chapter 4, picking it up at the 31. Ponder now by thyself how great fruit of wickedness the grain of evil seed have brought forth. And when the ears shall be cut down, which are without number, how great a floor shall they fill? Then I answered and said, how and when shall these things come to pass? Wherefore are our years few and evil? And he answered me, saying, do not thou hasten above the Most Highest, for thy haste is in vain to be above him, for thou hast much exceeded.
Right. So what that tell you about knowledge? Puffs up. This is Ezra's talking to Uriel, the archangel. Because if you could read this whole thing yourself, you know he was just letting him know everything that was going on. But he's talking to flesh. Flesh can pump up at times. He came through and said, Uriel came through and said, and he answered me saying, do not thou hasten above the Most Highest, for thy haste is in vain to be above him. So what are we learning? When you talk in vain, you think you above him. You think you have the audacity and the latitude to bring your own opinion. So we got to be careful. Go ahead.
What verse is that that you just read?
34, 2 Ezra 4 and 34.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Amen. For he answered me, saying, do not thou hasten above the Most Highest, for thy haste is in vain to be above him, for thou hast much exceeded. Be mindful, brothers and sisters. Humble yourself in the eyesight of the Most High God. Know that you only know a little bit of these scriptures. Understand this Bible was infinite, so you keep studying. And listen to the words more than you listen to men, because we see that men are vain. Proud and boasters. I'm not saying everybody is like this, but if you put all your trust in men, it's a possibility you can linger into that. So I'm not talking about nobody. I'm just telling you to be aware of it. Because if it happened to the prophets, then it can happen to you. We're not above them. So let's humble ourselves in the eyesight of Most High God. Because Uriel, the archangel, just checked Ezra's. And let's look at how the Most High God checked Job in the book of Job 38. So, brothers and sisters, let's go in the book of Job chapter 38. The book of Job 38, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8 to show you how the Lord could tear down your vain and hubris knowledge and your excessive pride and your boasting. He's going to show you mean a damn thing. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Job 38, starting at the 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors, when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb?"
So the Lord coming through like, "Joe, man, girl, man, who you talking to, man? Guard yourself like a man and answer me. Since you think you can talk to me like that and question me, let me ask you some questions. Where was you when I did all this? Where was you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you under, you got this understanding, you was there, tell me. Where was you? Since you so smart, who has laid the measures thereof? You know, don't you? Or who has stretched the line upon it? You got to, how you talking, you got to know. Because you and your pride and you boasting, you got this vain hubris knowledge, you think you know more than me, so you tell me, where was you when I did all this? You think you smart, then answer my questions. You answer me. Talk to me. Where was you? Where was you? Where was you, or who laid the cornerstones thereof? And when my angels, no, when the morning stars sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy. So if you believe the Apophica, that you know Uriel was a part of these angels, and we just seen the metaphoric way of how he checked, the same way how Uriel was talking to Ezra, Ezra's on that matter is the same with the Lord talking to Job. They all was there, and they still humble themselves, so how come we can't humble ourselves? And Lord, he didn't lose on Job. And he said, "Or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? Where was you? You so smart. You know everything. You got all this knowledge. You figured this thing out yourself. You think your doctrine is pure. You think you clean in my eyes. Where was you, Job? Where was you when I did this stuff? There's no way you can believe my Bible is infinite. There's no way there's no way that you believe that you only know half of my story. And I can fill you with the knowledge of Solomon. And guess what? After these scriptures, Solomon didn't even know the half. He had the greater portion out of all of us, but he didn't even know what to have, because after the Lord blessed Solomon with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, he turned around and wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and showed you all this vain. So much for all that great wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He turned around and showed you all this vanity and came to the conclusion that fear God and keep his commandments is the whole duty of man. That's the whole conclusion of the matter. So the Lord blessed this man with all that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He turned around and write the book of Ecclesiastes and show you that all is vanity. It shows us we really need to humble ourselves in the eyesight of the Most High God. Now let's go back and let's go in the book of Ecclesiasticus. The book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 7. And I have two more after this. The book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 7. And we're going to pick this thing up at verse 5, just that one verse.
Ecclesiasticus 7 and 5. Justify not thyself before the Lord, and boast not of thy wisdom before the king.
Amen. I don't say, don't be justifying yourself before the Lord. I gave it to you. And as quick as I gave it to you, I'll take it away. And boast not thy wisdom before the king.
So the Lord is really trying to show us to humble ourselves. But we still got to use the precept name about understanding that the Bible is infinite. Because if you believe the Bible is infinite, you humble yourself. Because you know that God still got a multitude to show you. And after he showed you a multitude, you still don't even know the half of it. So we got to really buckle down and humble ourselves in the eyesight of the Most High God. Now let's go in the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 47. And we have one more after this. The book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 47. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4. So, because we're going to really buckle down and show you, your boasting don't mean a damn, your boasting don't mean a dang on thing. Because if the Lord got something written out for you, or the Lord go do something to you, now all that boasting ain't gonna do nothing for you. And let's read a prime example. The book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 47, verses 1 through 4. When you get it broke, go ahead and read.
Ecclesiasticus 47, starting at the 1. And after him rose up Nathan to prophesy in the time of David, as is the fat taken away from the peace offering, so was David chosen out of the children of Israel. He played with lions as with kids, and with bears as with lambs. Slew he not a giant when he was yet but young? And did he not take away reproach from the people when he lifted up his hand with the stone in the sling and beat down the boasting of Goliath?
All that boasting don't mean nothing. So what are we boasting for? Why are we making ourselves like we this top notch? How many of us, through the grace of God, how many of us want to delete this boasting and understand that this book is infinite? Because Goliath was boasting, and he was so big and huge, but to show you, it's all vain. We read through a couple of scriptures to show you that vain, the man is vain. So all that boasting and all these things you think you go do and turn around and get killed by a young man by a slingshot. And I'm glad that the apostle showed us that he was boasting himself. So we need to humble ourselves, brothers and sisters. And we need to understand that this book is infinite.
Humble yourself and get that boast and the pride out your heart and point the finger and learn how to humble yourself and just and thank the Most High God on what he allowed you to know. So let's go on the last spot in this, on this scripture. This is where we'll be out of here tonight. Let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 1. So we really buckle down and understand that this is where we are with this, and understand that this is where we need to be. We're in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9, and this will be last. When you get it, big bro, go ahead and read.
Proverbs chapter 1, starting at the 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck.
Amen. So maybe this will help us out. Because we need to really respect God enough to understand that this Bible is going to give us wisdom and instruction. This Bible is going to perceive the words of understanding. It's going to teach us to receive the instructions of wisdom. It's going to also give us instruction of justice, judgment, and equity. And equity is nothing but balance. You can balance yourself out very well with dealing with these scriptures. And also said to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Subtlety is skill. It's going to give you skill. This Bible is going to give you discretion. Discretion is caution. You know, you ain't quick just to go run out somewhere or to be talking and pointing the finger. You're going to have some caution, and you're going to humble yourself. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. So in order for you to get this stuff, you got to be in this book. You got to believe this book. And you got to allow the Father to teach you so he can give you whatever he please. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain into wise counsels. To understand the proverb and interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. In order for you to get an understanding of them dark sayings, you got to be in this book, and you got to understand that this Bible is infinite. And also understand you shouldn't be having all this vain and hubris knowledge in your heart, because you got to believe we don't know the half. And I thank y'all for y'all time.
Amen.
Turn things over to Brother Job and Sister Rhea. An excellent reading, Brother Nakami. Splendid work, bro.
All right, thank you.
Amen, Jew. Absolute great, great precept, man. You know, Father, talk about us being having pride in our own conceit. You know, and he also warned us. He said, knowledge puff up. Knowledge puff up. That's not a warning to the Pharisees. That's not a warning to the world, because he wasn't talking to them. He was talking to the disciples and the apostles. He said, knowledge puff up. And I've seen this. I've seen knowledge lift up people's heads. They start feeling like they got the big head. I know this. When a father revealed this to me, you know, well, I'm this now. No, you're not. You still got to wipe your up. Don't get me started. You still got, you know, you ain't made the cut. You have not made the cut. You haven't been first. You haven't been resurrected from the dead. What we know, the Father had already revealed to somebody else. And we happen to see what the Father revealed to them. So it ain't like we coming up with anything new. He's just revealing it to us now because the law is knowledge shall be increased. But with that come the children of pride. Because the children of pride see things, man, and they get beside themselves. They don't know how to handle riches of God. They start thinking it's of themselves. They start feeling like, you know, I know this and I know that and I do this and I do that and you don't know this and you don't know that and you don't do this and you don't. That ain't the word of God. That ain't what he told you to do with his word. What we're working on. Let me read this verse. Let me read this verse out of, I guess it's Luke. Yeah, Luke chapter 12 and 45. And I was just, you know, I was just reading, man. I was reading while you was doing the lesson. And I was just reading, man. And the Lord was just taking me all sorts of places, man. I'm reading with you. And it landed me here. And it said, you know, while we getting all in a big head, while we feeling like we know all these things and we the end all be all to everything that pertain to God, when the Lord say we know in part and we see in part, you know, that's a law. That's a commandment. So what you see in part, the rest is darkness to us. What we see in light, the rest is darkness to us. So we don't have carte blanche on the word of God. We just gracious enough that he showed us. So watch this. He said, Luke chapter 12 and 45, he said, but if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delay his coming, and began to beat manservants and maidens, and began to eat and be drunken. Now this person here is a servant of God. He know God. He's a disciple. What do you mean he started beating on them? Isaiah called it like it is. He said, start smiting with the fist, putting his mouth on him, saying this person is this and this person is that. He said, the Lord will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at that hour he will not spare. Well, forgive me. He said, the Lord of that servant, which is Jesus, and he is a servant. He's a disciple. He said, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. You know, he's going to be in this, he's going to be all up in the Jesus mode, right? He said, and at an hour when he's not aware of, and will cut him asunder, and will apport his portion with the unbelievers. With unbelievers. See, we got to be careful with that thing, man. Amen. Just because the Father, in fact, that's a tell. I'm going to tell you something else. That's a telltale that people haven't read their whole Bible. All right? That's a telltale that somebody ain't read. They, you know, they got precepts and stuff like that, but they haven't read the whole book because they lifting themselves up. And they think they better than somebody else when the word of God is, like my man said, infinite. You can't carte blanche this. You just got a portion. I just got a portion. Isaiah got a portion. Paul got a portion. Miles, Bowie, Danny, you know, Kanapi, you know, all these brothers got portions. You dig what I'm saying? All we got is portions. Even the sisters in Christ got portions. Now, our thing is to sit down and take whatever portion they got. You know, and it's good to be able to sit down in front of somebody and eat the whole thing instead of, like, you know, myself and those of us that listen to other pastors like Olsen or Jakes or What's his name, Smith? No, the old dude. Stanley.
Charles Stanley.
Yeah, Charles Stanley. You know, some of us, you know, check him out. But the thing is that you don't have to pick over the food. You dig what I'm saying? Even though they set in a good plate, you still got to pick over it because you got unclean in there. You know what I mean? So we got to be careful. It's just like when you're going out to eat. You got to be careful. My point being is this, is that knowledge puff up, man. We got to be careful about this. This is a real warning from God. Don't give aside yourself. He would jam you and cut you a portion with the hypocrites when you least expect it, because you're dead and gone. You wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't even know it. He'll turn your brain off just like that, and you go to black, and you wake up, and you're in front of him. That's the end of your story. Everything that you knew and did, he said, I won't remember. All because we did not love the brethren enough to lift them up and esteem them better than ourselves. That's the whole point of reading the law. If you call yourself a king, or you call yourself somebody that aspires to want to be, get a throne or something like that, you got to read the whole Bible, because the law is, in Numbers chapter 17, the law is that you have to read all the book in order for you to get a throne. You might get salvation, but if you want a throne, you got to write the whole book down, man, in your head. You got to read all of it. Mm-hmm. All of it. You know what I mean? And even after you read all of it, he said, read it all the days of your life. Why? Because it's infinite. It's going to keep evolving. It's going to keep turning into something else. When I first walked in the door to Israel of God, I never knew that the Sabbath day was going to turn into the kingdom. I didn't know the Passover was going to be the Father's kingdom. I didn't know the Bible code was in the Father's kingdom.
Amen.
But it evolved. It's infinite. So we're supposed to evolve in our understanding. Even in understanding that we don't even have it all. That's your humility. That's your humility to shut up and be still and hope the God of Israel keep revealing himself. At least he turned off your light and you don't see nothing else but what you got. And then take what you got, give it to somebody else. Man, Jude, this is a heater, man. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I yield the mic.
Amen, bro. Thank you for your word.
Shalom.
Shalom, big bro.
Shalom. Great lesson, bro. Great lesson. Anybody that's been doing this and dealing with the word for a while, if you're doing it in a true way, you should get exactly what this lesson is about. Like I'm saying, I've been doing this going on 18 years, and I've seen many things and been shown many things. But I know all the time, because they say we only know in part, but once you start doing this, you know. I'm barely scratching the surface doing this for 18 years. All I got to do is be humble enough to listen to someone else or read something in the Bible. Every time I open this book and actually read it, I learn something new. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? There's no way. It said forever learning, never coming to the truth. You can keep going on and on and on. Like I'm saying, things I didn't read my whole life. Like I'm saying, the Most High showed me the Bible code. The Bible code is, in the sense, how I learned the Bible code was just dealing with the creation, something I've been hearing about my whole life. But he keeps adding things new, the things that Brother Joel bring out to creation and things like that. It's so many things in this thing. So like I'm saying, you should always be humble no matter how much you think you know. I'm saying you can get close to a brother or a sister, and they're going to show you something out of this book that you just didn't see. So I love lessons like this, because this is how we should all be thinking all the time, that you shouldn't think that you know it all. It's not about being Mr. Know-it-all and Miss Know-it-all. Like I'm saying, that's why I like to listen to other brothers. said, I don't got that kind of pride to think that I know it all and everyone's supposed to listen to me. I love listening to all kinds of brothers. I listen to Israelites. I listen to Christians. I listen to Muslims. I listen to all kinds of people. It's like Job said, I know what to keep and know what to throw away. But usually when I listen to brothers, my brothers, the Israelites, unless they have some of that craziness, hey, man, I usually can keep everything that most, a lot of them are saying. Well, so with that, Brother Isaiah, great lesson. Great lesson. I yield the mic.
Amen. All praise. Father is merciful. Thank you for your word.
Shalom.
All right. Hey, shalom, Sister Mary.
Shalom, Brother Isaiah. That was a very good lesson. Very good lesson. And very good reading, Brother Nakomi. I love lessons like this, and I hope the Father continue to bless you guys with these lessons so I can continue to learn. Thank you.
Amen. All glory to the Father. For his mercy endure forever. Thank you, my sister. All right, do we have any more people online that would like to add to the precept testimony? All right, if not, I'll turn things over to Brother Job and Sister Rhea.
Amen, brother. We just want to once again thank you for having the courage to speak on the Word of God in the manner that He gave it to you, and not trying to be a yes man and a good old boy, you know, being a follower, you know, instead of trying to, you know, let the Father lead you, you know, in so many ways, man. Like my brother Nakomi, man, you know. He isn't afraid. I watched this brother do things in front of the world, man, that was phenomenal, even in front of his own peers, you know. But when the Lord is dealing with you, man, you got to do what you got to do, just like all the prophets. All the prophets. And when you read the prophets, man, they wasn't lifted up. They were more hurt. They were angry. They wasn't lifted up. They didn't have that thing on them, man. And the one example we got that lifted up thing is Moses, Jack, and the Most High told us about that, going there with him. You know, you ain't going to hear me say anything about Brother Bowie or any brother that I know that's way up in the food chain, whether it's, you know, Ben Amin, whoever it is, you're not going to hear me say nothing about that. You're not going to hear me call anybody false prophets or nothing like that, thanks to Isaiah breaking that down, because that's not my place. He said, save yourself. You know, I haven't seen anybody in the Bible, and none of the disciples, call anybody a false prophet out by name. Never seen that. That's saying a lot. That's adding pride. That's to say that you're better than them and that you're not them. That's scary. So I thank my brother, man, for having heart and resisting the flesh and fear to stand up and be about what the Father gave him. You know what I mean? And we all coming from different walks. But one thing for sure, this will make it beautiful, man. We all coming from different corners with the same book. Just like Matthew, Luke, John, and Mark. I was finna say Paul. But yeah, man, all of us got different looks, man. So with that being said, once again, great job reading the comb. Big ups. You can catch Brother Nakomi Swanson, a.k.a. Little Israel, a.k.a. Nehemiah Israel. This brother here is of the Nation of Peace of Israelites out of Minneapolis. You can catch him every Wednesday night here at the Sounds of Living Waters doing what?
Bringing that kingdom state of mind.
The kingdom state of mind.
You want to be here for that. We want to thank our brother Isaiah here. Tonight you catch him every Thursday night here at the Sound of Living Water, the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class. Word up. That's coming with that hubris knowledge, man. Woo. Another chapter, brother. That's another chapter. It's a short chapter, but it's another chapter. Man.
Yeah, man.
Great job, man. Great job. That book is going to look like an encyclopedia, bro.
Oh, man.
Great doctrine, man. Great doctrine. We want to be here tomorrow evening for, once again, the same time, 7 o'clock p.m. here at the Sound of Living Water for the Commonwealth of Israel. That'd be myself, Job Israel, and my wonderful rib, Rhea Serena Israel. We will be dealing with Armageddon, part two. We'll be picking that back up. And then on the Sabbath day, we'll be here dealing with women in the church. We'll be dealing with our wonderful mother, man. Oh, man, I just love Lisa Rebecca. So we're going to be dealing with her. We're going to be dealing with her story this Sabbath day. And then to the Sabbath Eve, just before the Sabbath wind out. Man, you still here at the Sound of Living Waters. We got Brother Miles, Brother Horace Miles on deck. He don't want us to call him Dr. Miles, but sorry, that brother's a physician. ooh. Man, you talk about cleaning your clock. Dr. Phil ain't got nothing on him. Anyway, you want to be here for that? Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. That's every Sabbath Eve here at the Sound of Living Waters at 7 o'clock p.m. And then a Sunday morning brunch, myself and our brother Isaiah, we're going to deal with the Lake of Fire. Okay, we're dealing with the lake of fire, not the great white throne judgment, y'all, the lake of fire, all right? So I'm not getting all off into the judgment. I just got to show that through the judgment, you're going to end up in the lake of fire. So me and my brother Isaiah, man, we're going to bring whatever the Father allow us to put on the breakfast brunch, man, and it's going to be mixed up meat, you know what I mean? A little bit of milk and a little bit of meat, either way it goes. You're going to need, it's going to have some hot sauce on it, so.
Amen.
You better be drinking you some water, because I'm telling you, you're going to feel
smoke.
Thirsty, man.
Bring
oh, my
smoke.
God. Man, that lake of fire piece is, when he talk about that, it make the hair stand up on my arms and my neck. It gives me bumps. Yes, ma'am. It gave me the creeps. You dig? And that's my reason for pause, man. That's my whole reason for pause, from not going nuts out here in the planet.
Amen.
In the world. That gave me reason for pause, because I know that outer darkness ain't no joke, because ain't no darkness like that. So we're going to get into those things. So with all of that being said, Brother Isaiah, I'm getting feedback now, but you got any closing comments before we wrap it up?
You know, stay in your books. You know, stay in your books. Respect it. You know, respect the book enough to understand that, you know, you only know half of it. You know, oh yeah, definitely too. Dealing with my art stuff, I'm pretty sure a lot of people follow me online on the blog talks. Well, on the blog talk show, the book of Exodus 20 Reload, well, the new book. I got 2 pages left. The Father is merciful. He showed me that we got a magazine place down here in Peoria, so I can talk to a magazine place and have them make the book for me instead of trying to go all out beyond on the website to try to get that done. So I found some real close for the magazines. I'm pretty sure I just got to upload the info from my laptop to the and give it to them so they can make it into a book. So through grace of God, pretty soon I should have the book of Exodus 20 on hard copy for the brothers and sisters to read their Bibles in the cartoonish cartoon comic way. So be on the lookout for that, you know. And the Father merciful, I get a mic with that.
Amen. Amen. So keep up with the, you know, be looking out for my brother Artwork, and because he's doing kingdom work with that. He ain't just putting in art; he's putting in kingdom work art, you know, for the children to read about the gospel and the word of God and see it in their eyes, and their imagination can focus on the kingdom work too. All right, so you want to tune in and find out more about those things. You can if you go on Facebook, you can find Isaiah Brown on Facebook just by typing in Isaiah Brown. You should see him. He's beautiful, girl.
Hello.
With that being said, y'all, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bibles, people. Time appointed. Long is light.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.